Ramsey TV.
I ask you this, where else, other than MZ TV, are you going to get a scriptural teaching on insects, the bug world? I'd like to know what came first, the term bug, or that these beings bug you? Because these two things are definitely related. The verb and the noun are definitely related. What do I think came first? I think they were named bugs first, yeah. And then, the reaction you have when they swarm around you is, stop bugging me. Bugging me, bugs, bug. Bugs, bug people. This is Martin Sender, hi. It's going to get serious here, don't worry. If you didn't think that was serious. I thought it was serious too. I was looking outside, I was just sitting outside, and I saw a moth thing flittering around. In fact, there was three of them flittering around, just seemed to be enjoying life, these moths. And then at the same time, there was a bee coexisting beautifully with the moths, or maybe they were butterflies, I don't know. And the bee was just going about his business, landing on a dandelion. And I thought, these insects are so smart. I mean, they have a native intelligence, instinct, they call it. They know what they're about. They know their business. And they're content. They're not worried about anything. They're just doing what they were meant to do, and they can't do anything else but what they were meant to do. So maybe I should tell you where I'm going with this right off the bat. I don't want to scare you. Should I do that? Okay, well, I'll pose it as a question, and then I'll answer the question. Will insects be conciliated to God? Do insects have a future life beyond this realm of sin and death? Insects are mortal, and insects are also souls. I'm going to prove to you that insects are souls. Remember, we're living souls too. People don't have souls. Butterflies don't have souls. They are souls. They're living souls. Now, let me give you the characteristics of a soul to prove this to you. The characteristics of a soul. One, it must move. God talked about the living, moving souls in the book of Genesis. Moving. A soul has to move. A soul is conscious of its environment. Soul is aware. A soul reads what's going on. Notices things. Insects qualify. All these things. They're aware. Of course they are. The bee is aware. He's got to get this. He's got to go back to his hive. The swallows of Capistrano. Hey, it's time to go to Capistrano. They just take off and do it. And they just migrate. All the different. The salmon. The Arctic terns. Each in their turn, they migrate. It's fantastic. Bad news for those of you who love your plants. I know I have a couple people in mind who love plants, and they are sure that plants will be reconciled. No, I'm sorry. See, only souls, only things that are living souls are reconciled to God. I have proof for that. Don't worry. It's coming up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have a verse for it. I have a verse for the salvation of insects. But I told Cindy Pilkington one time, I was doing a similar study, and she says, well, my plants are saved, aren't they? I said, Cindy, I'm sorry. I mean, your plants are nice. They're beautiful. You take good care of them. But they don't appreciate that you take care of them, okay? They don't. They're not conscious. They're not aware of their existence. That's another characteristic of a soul. It's aware of its existence. I said, and a plant doesn't move. Do you remember that one? Remember what she did? You remember what her answer was?
So you're telling me my plant's not saved?
Well, it doesn't move.
What about now?
No, it has to move on its own.
But I love my plant.
Oh, I do too. I mean, it's a really nice plant.
I'll never see it again?
Well, just keep it alive as long as possible.
I talk to it every day.
Does it say anything back? I mean, noises, squeaks, anything?
No. Can you offer me any comfort?
Well, you know, these leaves here may make a really nice salad.
Are radishes saved?
No.
See? It moved. No, that doesn't count. So the first thing you're thinking is, I don't want those nasty things bugging me in the celestial realm or on the new earth or on the redeemed earth. I just don't want them around. Insects are terrible. Wait, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. Do you know people that are terrible? Yes. Okay. And what's going to happen with them? They're going to be judged and fixed. They're going to be redeemed. So when the dog bites and when the bee stings, see, I'm happy to tell Julie Andrews that there's going to be a day come when that won't happen anymore. The dog is not going to bite. The bee is not going to sting because they'll be reformed. They'll be judged. They'll be made right. And the reason, okay, here's the big question. The reason God, why did God create all these insects? Why the hell did he let the mosquitoes on the ark? Or maybe they didn't go on the ark. Maybe they just took to the air, flew above the deluge. I don't know exactly. But, yeah, I know. The mosquitoes pass on all sorts of terrible diseases, malaria and whatnot. But they're not always going to do that. When the mosquito infects you, when the thing does what it does, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember what Xander told me, and then I don't feel so bad. Xander's telling you that they're going to be changed. They're going to be redeemed, changed just like rotten human beings. And we're all rotten human beings. Yeah, some people do like insects more than human beings. Certain kind of insects, like butterflies, all the sweet ones. Butterflies, ants. No, not fire ants, right. Even Solomon says, I love this, in Proverbs 6:6-8, he says, consider the ant. Let's go to that passage. Consider the ant. Listen to Solomon. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a conscious, aware, moving soul. One of my favorite Mark Twain quotes, he said, I would compare ants to human beings, except I don't wish to do a disservice to the ants. I think I'm right along with him there. God wants these creatures. Oh, do you know how many insects are alive today? This is going to shock you. I looked this up. At any given time, there are 10 quintillion insects existent. This is just like right now. Not even considering in all of the history of creation. 10 quintillion. I'm going to show that number down here under the screen. You can see what that looks like. And along that line, there's a really interesting article. Numbers of insects. Where did I get this? It's an article called Bug Info. Yeah. It has been long recognized and documented that insects are the most diverse group of organisms, meaning that the number of species of insects are more than any other group in the world. Some 900,000 different kinds of living insects are known. This representation approximates 80% of the world's species, all species. The true figure of living species of insects can only be estimated from present and past studies. Most authorities agree that there are more insect species that have not been described or named by science than there are insect species that have been previously named. Conservative estimates suggest that this figure is 2 million. 2 million species of insects. But estimates extend to 30 million. My God. In the last decade, much attention has been given to the entomofauna. The entomofauna is the insect world. You got the flora, fauna, and the entomofauna. More attention has been. Why has more attention been given to this? Don't these people have anything else to do? Much attention has been given to the entomofauna that exists in the canopies of tropical forests of the world. From studies conducted by Terry Irwin. Oh, yeah, Terry Irwin. Of the Smithsonian Institution's Department of Entomology. No, it's not. Entomology. What is it, Terry? Oh, entomology. In Latin America, forest. This guy, listen to this guy's specialty. Terry Irwin of the Smithsonian Institution's Department of Entomology in Latin American forest canopies. Wow. Talk about a focused study. Talk about a specialist. Good old Terry Irwin. According to Terry Irwin, the number of living species of insects has been estimated to be 30 million. Okay. He goes with the 30 million camp. I'm sure this is a big controversy within the entomological world. I say 2 million species. I go with Terry Irwin of the canopies, the forest canopies. I go with 30 million. Anyway, insects also probably have the largest biomass of the terrestrial animals at any time. It is estimated that there are some 10 quintillion individual insects alive. All these insects are going to one day be praising God, because God wants worship and praise. In fact, right, and they're going to be buzzing with praise and happiness. God wants creatures. He wants fellowship. He wants company. He wants to hear the glad noise of worship and adoration and praise, the happy music. Maybe they're going to still buzz. Maybe they're going to still flap. I don't know, but they're not going to sting anymore. They're going to make a happy, glad noise to the Lord. And God wants more of them, more of them, more of them. So you got to put up with them for now, because you're going to be comforted by their sheer number. You're going to love it when you see all the insects that have ever lived. Take 10 quintillion times 10 quintillion. I believe that is 100 quintillion. Just take all the insects that ever lived and imagine them all redeemed and happy and just, praising God. That's going to be a happy noise. It's really going to be. So that's why God created them. In fact, there are four animals right now at the throne of God. Four animals. Well, I know. Yeah, the King James calls them living creatures, I think. Or beasts. Some versions call it beasts. Let me go to that verse in Revelation. This is fascinating. Oh, by the way, of course, if the insects are redeemed, then your dogs, your cats, your goldfish, your parakeets, your gerbils, yes, even you crazy people who have pet snakes and tarantulas. I knew a girl who had a pet tarantula. Why? 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 They're all going to be redeemed. That's why. They're created to be redeemed. So, Revelation chapter 4, let me get there. I thought I was there. The unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 4. An amazing passage. And out of the throne of God, I'm starting in verse 5, out of the throne are issuing lightnings and voices and thunders, and seven torches of fire are burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, it is as a glassy sea, like crystal. And in the center of the throne and around the throne are four animals. Listen to these animals. Four animals. And they're animals, you see? They are animals. Animals are amazing. They really are. Animals. They're so intelligent. Smarter than the insects. I think some of them. I'm not sure. I think an ant is smarter than a cow. Four animals replete with eyes in front and behind. And the first animal is like a lion. The second animal is like a calf. The third animal has a face like a human being. And the fourth animal is like a flying vulture. I'm going to explain all those four things in a moment. And the four animals, each one of them having six wings apiece, around and inside are replete with eyes. Wow. And they have no rest day and night. They don't want it. They're not tired. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming." These animals are excited about the coming of Christ to the earth to redeem it. And probably to snatch away the body of Christ. So these animals represent the entire animal kingdom except the reptiles and the insects. They have no representation at the throne of God. I'm sorry. I am sorry for those of you who have reptiles and insects as pets. They're still going to be redeemed, but they have no representation at the throne of God. The lion represents the wild animals. The second animal is like a calf. The calf represents domesticated animals. Yes, the calf. I tell Charles this every morning when I wake up with Charles. He rolls over on his back. I pet his little belly. And I tell him a bunch of nice things. And I say that he knows about the calf at the throne who watches over him. He is represented. Charles has a voice. And your cat and your gerbil, your domesticated pet, has a voice at the throne of God. And it is the animal that is like a calf, because the calf represents domestic animals. Representation at the throne of God. That's pretty good. Don't short sell the animals. Third animal has a face like a human being. Well, we're animals too. We have representation besides Jesus Christ, but there's an animal. Why? I'm not sure about that. The fourth animal is like a flying vulture. So the birds of the air also have representation at the throne of God. They have spokes animals, spokesbirds, acting on their behalf. So I tell Charles every morning that the calf at the throne of God is watching over you. He looks at me with his eyes. He knows. He knows. That instinct is a beautiful thing. Instinct. Beautiful. Beautiful thing. So I will go now to the verse that you've been waiting for. But I have to say this. Don't. Before I give you the verse, I got to get your mind right. I got to get your heart right. I have to prepare the ground of your heart to accept these insects. Don't blame them for what they are. They can't help it. Okay? The bee that stings your kid, it just couldn't help it. It didn't think, I can't wait to sting that kid. Ooh! No, it just does it. I don't know. Don't get upset at him. You can still kill him. Oh, you can still kill him en masse. Yes. If they're irritating you, if they're dangerous. For instance, we have cockroaches here in South Florida, and you have to kill them. You just have to. I don't like to kill anything. Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a healer, not a killer. But sometimes you just have to do it. I've had lizards walking around in here. I let them go. I don't mind them. I don't know how they get in, though. They're fast. Maybe that's how they get in. Open the door. Here come the lizards. So the insects can't help it. That's what I'm telling you. Just give them a break. The next time you see an insect, like I did this morning, the next time you see it, marvel at its wisdom. Marvel at its instinct. Marvel. Well, feel sorry for it that it has no representation before the throne of God. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. June bug. You have no representation at the throne of God. You're still going to be redeemed. You're still going to be delivered from your present lousy personality and your really shitty disposition. Speaking of the June bug, just they're aggressive. I'm sitting outside trying to relax, and the June bug knows. Ooh, hey, there's Zender. Yeah, forget it. Leave me alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, verse 45. I'm going to end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. Quick verse, quick hit, boom. If there's a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. I'm not meaning to add to scripture here, but there's a nice word you could put in here, and that is, if there is a soulish body, there is a corresponding spiritual body also. So if there is a soul in existence, and insects are souls, they meet all the qualifications, they move, they're aware, and they sense. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. The fact that there's a soulish body present is evidence that one day that soulish body, that is a body that is ruled and defined even by its sensations, by its consciousness, by its moving around, will one day be a spiritual body, will one day have a spiritual body. Better to say, probably be a spiritual body. Our bodies need to be changed. Paul talks about that in this very chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. Their bodies need changed also. And if there is a soulish body anywhere, that soulish body has a corresponding spiritual body that we will see, that will be manifested after the great change. And speaking of great change, I just thought of this, the wonderful, amazing caterpillar that crawls into the cocoon to become the butterfly. I mean, that's the most amazing picture in the insect world of resurrection I can even imagine. That really parallels our change from mortal to immortal. These bugs, they're as mortal as we are. See? 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 That's what we do to them. But they're going to live again. They will live again, and when they do, they'll no longer have that irritating, buzzing, biting, soulish body. They will have a spiritual body, and they will be doing whatever they do, whatever noise they make, but it'll be a noise of praise, a hum of wonderful rejoicing of what God has done with them. And we will look at them, and we will be happy for them. We will remember them. They will remember us. Aren't you the one that smashed me? Yeah, I'm the one, but look. I was mortal too. Well, we had that in common. Yes, we had that in common. And now we're all together with God for eternity, happily praising Him, each in our own way.